Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:01 on Monday, March 16, 2015, and Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:02 on Monday, March 16, 2015.
Call the Board of Equalization meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the meeting to order. The current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the south wall near the entrance of this room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Roll call, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Commissioner Busquets for the meeting today.
Second it.
Roll.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes. Okay, we need a motion to approve the March 2nd, 2015 minutes.
So moved.
Second.
How come, I don't have a copy.
Underneath your name thing.
Must have been on the internet, I remember seeing it.
Right on top, right there.
It's not there.
No. Here.
Sherry, you got one, Scott.
Right here.
Right in front of me.
Yeah,
that's the minutes. Oh.
It's underneath too. Here you can use mine. There, that's it. That's the commissioner's. Okay.
Whatever. So they mean the whole thing.
Scott moved, Tony seconded, right?
Right.
Okay, Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, open the public hearing. This would be to consider an exemption application concerning tax exempt application form 451, originally filed December 3rd, 2013, and the statement of reformation of tax reaffirmation of tax exemption form 451A, subsequently filed on December 2nd, 2014 by Oblate Apostles of the Two Hearts, Sasu City, on the following described real property. The detailed description of the use of this property is to be the residence and house of prayer of missionary religious organization of the Catholic Church. First, I'll ask for comments in favor of the board approving the statement of reformation of tax exemption form 451A applied for by the Oblate Apostles of the Two Hearts, South Sioux City. Anybody in favor, please stand and come forward. We'll be writing here. State your name and address.
My name is Alma Salcido, S-A-L-C-I-D-O. 400 East 32nd Street, South Sioux City, Nebraska. Anyways, well, the author, the Oblate Apostles of the Two Hearts, are a non-profit organization that have been serving in St. Michael's for the last 12, 13 years now. In 2013, if I'm not wrong, came back and bought a house on contract from the Gills. So they still, they support themselves and donations. Still serving our community, St. Mike's, Jackson, Winnebago, Wall Hill, get no pay for those services. So I have a letter from the pastor of St. Michael's, if you would like to see it, where he reaffirms that he's not, they're not receiving any income, any pay at all. I'm not quite sure, if this will help to, that's all I can find on my records for when I bought it, but they were tax exempt too for federal purposes.
Jeff, do you have these?
Probably not.
No.
Do you have an extra copies?
I have one more on.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Give it to you.
Give it to Jeff.
Give it to Jeff. He's a kind of
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No problem.
And also, I didn't know the problem was that they buy it on contract. Is that what the problem is? Like for not considering them exempt?
When we get through the, after we get through the people in favor and opposed and neutral, let Jeff speak. He can address that.
Okay.
So, yeah, are you done?
I think so.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Alvin.
Anybody else in favor? Anyone here opposed? Any neutral comments? I'll just let Jeff, you want to speak?
Yes.
I'll close the hearing first. Then, Jeff, I'll let you take over. The hearing is closed.
To where it goes?
Yeah.
I guess my first question is, I see we had people here for the hearing. We received a phone call, I shouldn't say we, the clerk's office did earlier today, asking the church, I'm assuming it was St. Mike's, called and wanted more time. And I saw on our minutes that the board can take a approve, disapprove, or table action. So I wanted to ask that question, and probably that's a question for Kim, to see if this is something we wanted to table to give the church more time, or do we want to move forward and I'll present the evidence I handed out? Or can I even do that, Kim?
It'll be up to the board if they want to wait or
not. Well, I think we better table. Since the church has asked for that.
Yeah, they called Mr. Pifo earlier today, and he asked me my opinion. I said that'd be, if they need more time, that'd be great. I have no problem with that. I guess if the church is...
I agree with your deal, you know, that if the priest make a phone call and suggest that we'd have tabled it for the meeting probably in April.
Yeah.
Sometime in April.
So.
Yeah.
And we still have time. We have, as long as we meet before June again, we'll be okay.
Okay.
For us on our timeline.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
We will need board action at the table.
So we need to make a motion for this, to table it? I'd like to make a motion to table this until the Father notice we received from the church that when they're ready.
Go ahead, Dick.
I will second that.
Okay, so this information you give us, we need to make sure we hang on to that for the next...
That'd be great if you could.
I think I'm going to give mine back to you.
Well, that's fine. Or I can, again, if you want, I can bring it back.
Yeah,
let me do that.
That's a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah, we find out from up here.
Have you guys seen my desk? This is a 50-50 deal now.
Okay,
all right, so we're done with that?
Yeah.
All right.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, our next public hearing scheduled to start at 3:03 is for the tax-exempt application 451, originally filed December 16, 2011. And the statement of reaffirmation of tax exemption form 451A, subsequently filed on December 4, 2014 by the Boys and Girls Home of Nebraska, and the following described real property. The detailed description of the property is a residential treatment facility for children. So the Public hearing is open. First, I'll ask for comments in favor of the Boys and Girls Home exemption. Anybody here speak in favor? Anyone in opposition? Any neutral comments? Have you heard from them, Jeff?
No, we haven't.
Okay, I'll let you close the public hearing now. We'll let you speak.
Okay.
Come on up.
All right, thank you. Yeah, they were sent their registered letter, and as of checking with them here just before lunch in the clerk's office, we've gotten nothing back. So they have not had a chance to review the mail or open it or even contact me to discuss it at all. So I think in this one here, and before I hand anything out, I'd like to take a couple more steps and try to reach out to them again myself and see if I can find someone to talk to about it.
Again, you have till June?
Yeah, and again, it's the same time frame. I mean, so I think we've got some time, so I would ask the board to take a motion to table this one as well until I can contact them.
All right, I'll make that motion, table it.
Second it.
Roll.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes. Okay, mail in our emergency business, any? Public comment on the Board of Equalization? If not, we're adjourned.
In the chair.
Tony?
Okay, thank you, Bill. We want to call the Board of Commissioners meeting in order. Since we did the pledge of the elders, we going to do a call roll. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
A current copy.
Need to make a motion again for Boske? For Rick? Yes, yeah, I'll make a motion to excuse Rick.
Second it.
Motion to excuse Commissioner Ruskin for the meeting by Scott Long, second by McNear. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. A current copy of the open meeting act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. First of all, consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, March 2nd, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. And approval of the official report. I would like to mention that we're not going to approve. We look into every claim and accounts payable, and we're not going to approve one item on the accounts payable. It's a mileage that we don't approve on the WIT department. So with that, everything is in order.
I will make the motion to approve, with exception of the mileage for the weed department, and I will contact Leon and let him know. That's my motion.
That's your motion.
Second.
Moved by Scott and seconded by Commissioner Rudy. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
New business. Open an award. Seal bids for furnishing road gravel and rock in Dakota County. Brad.
Sorry, Brad. How many did you get, Brad?
Three. First one is Builder Sand and Gravel. Dover, Nebraska.
Have you heard of anyone having a shortage on rock yet or not?
LG Everett has been struggling a little bit, still doing what's that outfit down there by its building south of Port Neal.
The CF?
Yeah, the CF thing. Yeah, they're still grabbing a lot of material. Hmm. We haven't really ran short because we haven't been putting a lot on it beforehand, but there has been days where they didn't have any either.
Mm-hmm. I just remember last year it being an issue.
With Pilger, Sand and Gravel had a little trouble with OSHA. My colleagues say they're back on track. Riverview's been doing pretty good.
Which is the old Peterson, the Riverview, yep. Is that what it's called now?
Type 2 is the only type that...
And this is for who?
Which one? This is Pilger Sand and Gravel.
Okay.
Mr. Goldman.
Thank you.
And it is $12 at the pit, $21 that is a ton, $12 a ton at the pit, $21.44 delivered to Hubbard.
And that's a Schedule 2, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Second one's from LG Everett. They just give us their price at the location in Sioux City, Iowa. The 3/4 inch type 1 is $13.80. Type 2 screen is $17.70. Both of them are at their Sioux City location.
And this is delivered too, right?
Yes.
That's, we pick it up. Yeah, there's no delivery over there in Sioux City.
Yeah, there's no. There's this is just at their facility in Sioux City, Tony. They do
so
not
we
deliver.
We pick it up. Okay.
We did hire outside contractors for right around $550 a ton to haul it out of there at times.
That's fine.
Didn't they last year give us a bid on Schedule 3 and 4 too?
Yeah.
What I've done is. We didn't have a schedule. We never used them, so I.
Oh, you didn't.
So I just modified our to what I use, which is 3/4 and 1 inch.
All right.
Every once in a while, the county does use some railroad ballast in a real bad spot.
That's the big stuff, right?
Yeah. But LG Everest is the only one that even carries that, and I believe it's right at $20 a ton.
Yeah.
The third one is from Albanicious Contracting.
Who are they?
Jackson. I'm assuming Larry is only Albanicious I know in Jackson under construction. It is.
Does he have a pit that we're not aware of?
Don't they want to do? I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of it.
Maybe you bought that one.
This we thought it was... It's not a gravel permit or a gravel bid. It's just a request for an ID number for tax.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, we backed Larry off.
So them were the only two bids I had.
Okay, so Riverview Sand and Gravel, which is Old Peterson, did not give us a bid.
No.
Are they open?
Yes.
Okay, so my question is, since he did not give us a bid, are we authorized to buy gravel from him?
I do buy gravel from outside stores.
I know, but I'm just saying, since he's always on this list, and since he's not on that list, what is that?
How come he's not on the list? What?
I don't know.
I did call him and ask if there was a problem why he did not submit a bid. He said it was his fault. He just did not get it in. Didn't give me a reason. It's just that it didn't happen.
Wow.
His price, he said, is the same as last year.
You remember what last year was? No, don't feel right.
It was 12-something at their pit, and I think around 17-something delivered to... I do not know what it is, Tony. I can
follow. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just curious.
Too bad.
So what's the...
We do have quite a stockpile of it. I do plan on hopefully using some of their material. I would ask. Usually, what happens here is that we accept all bids and lock in the price. is how our gravel bids are usually. We don't award
any particular one, right?
A general bid to a.
But because bid. You can't do that because you don't know who's going to have rock and who's not going to have rock. And
right.
You got to. Mm-hmm. I get it. But so back to my question. What do we? I mean, if he doesn't give us a bid.
If he didn't bid, you can't accept anything. So
if he didn't give us a bid, we can't purchase anything from him.
Not in this bid.
Because you buy gravel from other sources, right?
Correct. I've even bought some, say, Fort Calhoun in Omaha. If last year we would have bought it from anybody that we could find it from.
I think if they go ahead and buy the gravel.
Well, what gets me is if LG Everett ain't going to have it, we're going to be in trouble without going to him if we can't run up there and grab gravel.
What I have is a stockpile of theirs, roughly a couple thousand ton. And if it works as good as I think it is, I would like to ask the board to continue to use it just for the simple purpose of that it's good for the county.
Mm-hmm.
If he'll lock in on a price. If Kim says that legally I can't do it, then I...
Not with regard to this bid. Because it didn't submit one, so you can't accept since they didn't submit it. But.
So I cannot use...
Otherwise, I don't know how you'd normally purchase without
it. That is the only place I can find that type of material, what would I... Then I can surely do it, can I?
Yeah.
And that's... His material is different than Pilger's. Pilger's is different than LG Everett's.
What do you call his Schedule 1?
His Schedule 1, with his three-quarter, his has actually got all the way up to inch. When I talked to him today, he doesn't have the Schedule 1. He's got Type 2.
Okay.
He keeps his inch stuff in.
Okay.
What he does is he adds a little clay to it, which is like a binder, what they actually call a binder. And when you put it down, you have to roll it down. And hopefully, maybe, we haven't tried any yet. Scott's been... with me and looked at a couple places, but we're hoping to get rid of some washboards with this without the clay in it to bind it, to get rid of the loose aggregate that gives you the washboard.
There's kind of a time frame that you got to be able to put it down, with weather permitting, obviously.
It isn't just a simple dump it out of the bottom of the truck
right.
That we're used to. It's a little more...
Some steps.
Yes. It has to be rolled in. It has to... So there's two or three... machines, truck, a roller, a grader. It isn't just let the gravel truck
right.
Haul where he wants.
I
think it's going to work.
And I hope it does too, and it should. And I hope it does, especially because of the resources and the knowledge that he has with this guy that's out of Alaska that deals with this stuff up there. And that's all he's dealt with is dirt roads and gravel roads. But our intent was being nice and close to the county shed where it's all at. We was thinking about M Avenue. That's kind of what our first
towards south out of Hubbard there where it comes to dam.
There's a lot of traffic there.
Right. And the hills, you know, with the
washboards. But anyway, we'll try it in a few places and see what it is. But like I say, his material is not available anywhere else either.
Right.
If it doesn't work good, we won't.
Your pile's probably frozen, isn't it? I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, let me know where you try it.
They're using it up to the feedlots in Dixon County right now, in between all the, and they say it's working good there. And that's pretty heavy stuff.
Didn't they put it down somewhere trying to sell it, and then rained?
Leonard Gill put some on his going up to his landfill also, and very satisfied with it.
But you got, like I said, there's a formula putting it down. If you put it down and it rains, you're in trouble.
It's got clay in it, so if you get moisture to it right away, it gets a little slimy. But once it sets up and packs down, it actually repels water, not near as dusty. Like I say, the washboard stays, at least that's what we're hoping, that's what we're aiming at.
So when you put this down, do you put rock over the top then? Or
no,
it's
got the aggregate right in it. It's just got a little more clay with it
to
actually... bind that rocks together so they're not rolling and getting the washboard. You'll get a little more what they call a shiny surface. It'll take some getting used to. People either are more used to it, they don't see a good layer of aggregate on top, I think it's going to get muddy. This will be smooth and no loose aggregate there.
It's good to start, you know, like Brett says, if you put them in the right time, you know, if you want to look linear length field, you know, right up to the length field.
That's what he used.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It looks good, don't it?
There's a whole traffic there. That's
what I'm saying, is this 200-300 trucks a day, if it is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's got to be good. So, you want to let us know, Fred? I mean, you could inform?
Yes. Yep. Sometime this summer, we used to do this every year, schedule a commissioner trip.
Right.
Go around the county one day and look at roads. I want to see the new Tony Gomez Bridge.
Yeah.
I haven't been out there yet.
You haven't been out there yet?
Well, then plus on that, we probably should hit a few of these other, some of these other FEMA projects that we got coming up.
Yeah.
The monies that we bonded for to look at some of that stuff. So it's probably a good idea to jump in the van.
Before meeting this summer, maybe like June or July, you guys set it at your convenience and
give us a couple hours or more.
Yeah, just give us some time.
I think we need to do that again.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a bus this time.
I agree with you.
So with a pole.
What the board want to do with the...
Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean that out loud. Just kidding.
We need to make that.
Yeah, to hang on to, like a trolley. Like a trolley to hang on to.
That kind.
Yes.
I would move to accept both these gravel bids. Pilger and LG Evers, Schedule 1 and 2.
I'll second.
Moved by Commissioner Rudy and seconded by Mr. Love to approve that bids for gravel. Call roll, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes. Motion carried. Brenda Gable, please. Say your name, please.
Hi, my name is Brenda Gable. And I'm here, I guess, to get some clarification on some issues with regard to the same case that we were here about a little over a year ago. And some discussions have taken place, and we just need some clarification on some things that have been discussed. When we were last here, the sheriff said that this case had been turned over to the State Patrol. And I guess we're just wondering if we could get clarification as to what being turned over means, because we have spoken to the State Patrol, and the State Patrol has shared with us that the case was not, in fact, turned over to them, that they were asked to give some input, but that the case had not been turned over to them. And the reason that this is really important to us, to ad-lib just a little bit for you, is because we have some concerns about dishonesty in the police report, some dishonesty that we can prove by giving you some examples, having you come and take a look at the items that were discussed. I guess I don't know how much freedom I have to talk about the police report here, if that should not be happening in a public forum. I don't know if you want me to give particulars or not.
Well, we give you 5 minutes to give us your report. Is that okay, Kim? I mean, what you're saying, if you can go ahead and give us...
The police report is public information. I don't know what report she's referring to.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'm referring to the police report itself. The reason that we asked this to be turned over to the State Patrol is because, as we discussed our case with Deputy Gilster, he told us that our safe and our business did not work. That's pretty concerning to us, given the fact that we use our safe every day and our safe works. And in the police report, another employee said that he had used the safe 400 times and the safe never came back open on him. So I'm not really understanding why Deputy Gilster would be reporting that our safe does not work. I'm very concerned about that, and I have an issue with that being placed in the police report. Number one, because that's going to cause us issues. They've recommended that we file a civil suit for this matter if we don't get criminal charges. And if we take this police report with that and many other inaccuracies, we're going to have to spend a considerable amount of time with a lawyer on legal fees to get to the bottom of what's true and what's not true. And that's really not fair to us to have to do that. We shouldn't have to explain dishonesties in a police report in a trial. that should not be our job. Someone should be reporting honesty in the police report to begin with. So back to the initial topic, what does it mean to turn a case over to State Patrol? What we were looking for is we were looking for our information to be turned over so that the State Patrol could come and look at those items and verify that is not true, to verify what we're saying, that this officer has been dishonest. And to give you a little history on our situation with Deputy Gilster, just a few months prior to this investigation, Deputy Gilster's wife assaulted someone in our business, and we were forced to provide video footage to the State Patrol upon the request of Deputy Gilster's wife assaulting Deputy Gilster's aunt in our place of business. So naturally, there's some conflict there with Deputy Gilster. Now, I understand from my research that there are 13 deputies. I'm a little concerned with why Deputy Gilster is the one that's assigned to our case when you have 12 other people that you could choose from. And when we ask to have our case turned over to the State Patrol, what's the issue with just turning it over to the State Patrol? I don't understand what the issue is. If someone tells you that a deputy that has a clear conflict of interest with you is not being honest, what's the issue with not just turning it over? What happened, according to the State Patrol, I've spoken to the sergeant and the investigator, and the sergeant told me that he was told that Mr. Gable has a criminal record. That was his first. What does that have to do with our burglar investigation? Second to that, the investigator, when he came to discuss the case that was, by his words, not turned over to him, but to discuss the case, he was told that a Jeep that we had purchased, that we wrecked it intentionally so that we didn't have to pay for it. We had already paid for the Jeep. Not sure why anyone felt the need to have to tell the State Patrol that we're wrecking vehicles on purpose. And there are other things. Deputy Gilster, this is a letter from Ms. Jump's attorney. Ms. Jump has been convicted of stealing $1,000 from us. Prior to all of this, she actually stole $20,000 from us. She confessed to stealing $20,000 from us. And they said that our record keeping was very poor and that they were not going to be able to help us with any more than the $1,000 that we had on video. Since then, we've discussed this with our accountant. Our books go to an accountant every month. Our accountant said that's the same way every bar in this area does their books, everyone that I do, so I don't understand the issues with your bookkeeping. You bring them here every month. And she said if the IRS or someone was going to do an audit of your books, they're going to want these handwritten books that they've made a mockery of, I guess I will say. People have made a mockery. Several people have made a mockery of it. We sat in our attorney's office and overheard Ms. Bergen saying to our attorney, "Well, I hope you're bringing more than those handwritten books that they have." I'm not sure I understand why we're being treated this way. We're just asking for people to do their job. That's all we're asking. We're asking for a fair investigation. I think it'd be fair to say $40,000 in a burglary and $20,000 more is a substantial amount of money. I'll be honest with you, my family and I are still trying to work our tails off to recover this money. That's a substantial amount of money. Take-home pay for someone, I mean, for the sheriff, for example, that'd be his take-home pay for a year. I think that everybody else would be as passionate about this as we are. And back to my letter, this is a letter from Patrick Tott, Ms. Jump's lawyer, to our lawyer. It says, "Deputy Gilster has indicated that he felt that the Gables' record-keeping was so poor that there would have been no way for law enforcement to have charged Nicole with any more than they did." Why is Deputy Gilster giving that information to Ms. Jump when she's already been convicted of stealing money from us? Why is he helping her in her civil case against her? We were simply trying to recoup the initial $20,000 that she had already confessed to. And now we get a letter in our civil case that we're paying legal fees for that says that Deputy Gilster is giving her this information. I don't understand why a deputy would be doing that. Tom goes to get a haircut across the street shortly after this incident happens. The beautician at the beauty shop says to him, "Well, you know, if you didn't do such a poor job on your record keeping, this never would have happened to you." Really? I don't understand why our personal information is being mocked in the county. That's very concerning to me. And the day that our attorney spoke with Deb Fergan trying to get a meeting with Ms. Watson, Deb Fergan said that the deputies are not interested in helping the Gables any further. And quite frankly, they're not interested in helping us any further either, because they've heard that Tom buys guns from Indians and that he's a bookie. To which our attorney, you know, responded, if you have issues with Mr. Gable, you need to investigate those separately. I hope you're not going to not investigate his case because of some issues you've heard that would hardly be fair to the Gables. And since this the last meeting that I was here, I called the sheriff to discuss some information pertinent to the case. And on January 28th, he called me back and was screaming at me and said that I'm a liar. And he doesn't even understand why he's talking about this case because it doesn't pertain to me. To which I responded, this case does pertain to me because I have a $12,000 civil lawsuit that is in relation to the Jeep that I'm being sued for. I'm having to pay legal fees. I think that this case pertains to me. And then he went on to tell me very angrily that he had encouraged Ms. Jump to file a harassment suit against me. I don't understand where that is even coming from. Not myself or any of my family members have had any communication with Ms. Jump. I'm very proud of my children. There's been a lot of talk on Facebook. That family has talked and talked and talked about us. I've told my children even, you cannot discuss this. This, you don't respond. You don't retaliate. We have done nothing to this family. So I don't understand why we're being treated this way.
Are you finished?
No.
Okay.
Actually, no. Also, since then, I got a call from our attorney, and our attorney said to me that Ms. Watson had talked to him here at the courthouse, and Ms. Watson told him that she had something on me. So my attorney calls, and he said, well, Ms. Watson has something on you. And we discussed it, and it is pertinent to a bill of sale for the Jeep, the same Jeep. And I'm just not understanding. It's not accurate. There is nothing on me. I contacted the state directly, took care of this bill of sale. And so I'm not sure why there was a need to, I guess I would call it, intimidate me in this way. I had to pay legal fees to discount the claim. So I guess our point is we have not had a fair investigation at all, in our opinion. We want a fair investigation. We want cell phone records. The State Patrol has told me if they get cell phone records for one of the suspects, that they will follow up on that lead. Excuse me. Because there is a person that's been investigated that has lied about his whereabouts the night of the burglary. His alibis have told different stories than him. And the State Patrol thinks that that's an issue. And if they can get those cell phone records from Ms. Watson, they will follow up on that lead. There are several other things in the police report that we believe could be investigated further. People have been dishonest with what they have said. And sorry, I have cotton mouth because I'm so nervous. So we need cooperation from Ms. Watson to get the information that we need, the State Patrol needs, a private investigator needs. We need the subpoenas to get bank records, credit reports, and the cell phone records that are pertinent to our investigation.
Deborah, I think for you. I'm speaking on behalf of the board. A lot of people believe that, that the board has a lot of power to do many things that we just don't be able to do it. Every department has their own responsibilities and they have their own duties to do it. For Maine, I don't know what you want from the board, realistically. That's my question to you. As far as the board is concerned, we don't really have the power that you guys think that we have. Our main goal is the board commissioner, and we have this issue with many people out there, is to monitor the budget. And yes, of course, if the head of the department has any issues or any concerns, didn't have anything, you know, they consult us, they tell us, and we can visit it about it. But as far as power in ourselves, other than before the sheriffs want to come over and say, respond to your concerns, or the county attorney, we want to say anything, that we don't have the power to that some people think that we have. Go ahead.
One thing. And I do sympathize with you guys. I know it's a lot of money. It looked like, from the outside looking in, just talking not as a board member, that our sheriff's department would gladly give it up, I would think, to the state patrol or FBI, whoever, and maybe they will. Or maybe Kim has that power. I don't know.
That's exactly what we would like.
That's the only comment I have.
Okay. Great.
And I don't know. They can do that. I'm sure Chris will talk when you're done here.
Did you want to say anything, Chris, or you want to?
Well, I would like to address that particular issue to this.
Would you kind of comment on, please? Okay. Thank you, Deborah. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. It's
Brenda. Deborah.
Brenda.
Oh,
yeah, sorry about that.
Are you done? I'm done. Yeah, that happens all the time.
I have never heard of a county board listening to, so this is kind of new for me. Until you did it that first time, I'd never heard of that. Other sheriffs, I'd never heard of that. So this is fairly new. As far as the State Patrol and the FBI goes, the FBI, trust me. State Patrol has been with us the whole investigation. As a matter of fact, Brenda has spoken with Sabota, the Sergeant of State Patrol, and many other investigators multiple times. All of our information they have, as well as we use the State Patrol, and I called out favors from other sheriffs to bring up polygraph testers that are still costing me favors for this particular case. So I don't want to talk about the case. I don't want to talk about the Gables. It's rumor mill. As far as Deputy Gilster, he wasn't the initial deputy on it. My investigator was. My chief deputy was. I went into another deputy, took him off, put another one on it. So I tell you guys, I'm happy to do whatever they want, but I only got so much power myself. You know, I can't just call up the FBI and say, hey, our local bar got broke into, you come and investigate it. It doesn't happen that way.
You can't just turn it over to the State Patrol.
We've already, as far as turning it over, it's an investigation. You don't turn stuff over. We have corresponded. Every time she calls, we get a call. So every conversation that she spoke with these different troopers, we have that on recording, and we have that in the case file. So I'm just, my point is, we're doing everything we can. Out of all the break-ins we've had in this county in the last 4.5 years, I think this is the only one we have not solved. We've solved every one of our cases. So, I don't know. Kim, would you prefer to... I don't like talking about this stuff either, because anything I talk about...
It's not an appropriate forum, I
think. It really isn't.
But the State Patrol's been on it for...
Since we got it.
Yeah. I've talked to them. You've talked to them. The Gables have talked to them. I don't know how much more involved they could be.
So, with that, I'll rest. It's an ongoing case. It's a felony case. If anything comes up with it, trust me, I will guarantee you there will be an affidavit and an arrest made. Okay?
Brenda makes it sound like the State Patrol is not involved.
They don't have the information that they need.
That's
they
just absolutely false.
I've spoken to Lieutenant Svoboda multiple times. He's got everything.
And has had
They do not have the cell phone records. The last time I spoke with them, they did not have the cell phone records that they needed to continue.
That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Well, Brenda, I think, I hear you side, but in the same way, we need to go by what our department head said and the county attorney, and we just hope that you get to the bottom of this somehow, and pursue it and follow up. But
all we would need is records to get to the bottom of it. We just need records. Why can't we have them? I don't understand.
We don't have records.
I know that they have one of the suspect's records because we kept asking for one and we kept getting another repeatedly, and we haven't been able to figure out why we can't get the suspect that we want. Why can't we get the cell phone records? The state patrol has told me themselves they don't have it.
Yes, Chris. Okay. Well, we need to continue with our meeting. Brenda, excuse me. God, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do as a board. Is any board member had us any suggestions or anything that you have in mind? But I don't. I mean, if the county attorney says don't have no records, so what are we going to do as far as the board is concerned?
I'm just curious real quick. So, and I don't know if I'm speaking online here or whatever, but so what you're saying, Brenda, is the person that you're looking for his or her records, you have no access to those records, but you have access to every other record.
Yes. Well, no, they haven't. To our knowledge, they have not investigated. They have not checked a credit report on the suspects. The suspects are not just suspects. They've told lies in the police report about we were here, we were there, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. It's a lot of dishonesty. And so to validate what they're saying or to discount what they're saying, we need to know where this individual was the night of the burglary. He has said that he was in Lincoln, Nebraska. His two alibis have said they were not with him. Actually, his one alibi said, I can't say that he drove home. He was behind me. His other alibi said, I was with him at his place. She said she was with him. He said he was with her at her place and at different time frames. The state patrol wants these cell phone records because if they find out that this gentleman was in Dakota County during that burglary, they're going to pursue him. They believe that is enough information to pursue him. And I know that they had Ms. Jump's cell phone records because, like I said, I have a copy of them. Deputy Gilster brought them to me. Why can't we have the other gentleman's cell phone records the same as we had Ms. Jump's?
You don't have those, don't you?
I don't know what person they're talking about, but anytime the patrol wishes to have cell phone records, they send me a subpoena, I sign off, they get the records. It's what they request is what they get.
The records are still available because I've spoken to Verizon, so I'll talk to the patrol.
Okay, well, again, Brenda, thank you for coming in front of the board, and wish you good luck. And then realistically, as far as the board is concerned, I mean, you need to communicate with the county attorney and our sheriff department, and wish you good luck. You know, I mean, what else can I say? I mean, other than that. So, thank you. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, road report.
Commissioner's report, March 1st through March 14th. 295 totals of hours of road maintenance. Tree removal, debris, 42 hours. Garbage pickup, 4. Gravel hauling, 367 tons of aggregate. Sign repair, 13 hours. 10 signs. Road concerns, 2. 230th Street between M Avenue and N Avenue. Grading. Hard surface. We had some pothole issues on Lake Avenue.
How did that work out today?
They were just coming in when I...
There weren't that many. There was, maybe half a dozen.
The little trailer that we used for spot like that was empty, so they got rid of it somewhere, I'm assuming. That's about all I can tell you, Scott.
Somewhere on some blacktop, right?
Yeah. But I'm sure it worked. It shouldn't have been a problem that cold.
There wasn't. And I drove all around Tompkins on Saturday after I got the phone call, or Friday afternoon, or whatever it was. And, there was maybe six different spots.
Yeah. I told them, after the look on Lake Avenue to get rid of it, I think they got a ton and a half. So.
You know that Lake Avenue, the spots that we did, I think it was last year. Was it last year?
2 years.
2 years ago. And, 2 years ago. Because last year, I know it's on the 1 and 6 to maybe try to get, and those spots are going to be getting back.
Yeah. We should try and fill in the rest of that before we.
Yes.
I'll mention it to the Finance Committee when budget time comes up.
Good luck with that.
when would you start on, like, Omaha Avenue down there?
I talked to Bruce. We just haven't been able to hook up, to be right honest with you.
I don't
They haven't got, like I said, we went there today. They're not doing any projects because they've got no hot mix.
So. I drove it today. Way down at the south, they're getting some big holes back there.
Realistically, you're probably thinking next 30 days, probably?
I'd hope so.
Yeah, I think 30, 45 days, weather permitting, obviously.
The weather will be the big thing, but I hope. I have not talked to Mr. Jorgensen of Knife River, but hopefully that he's got it scheduled in at the beginning of the year before he starts his big projects. And,
okay. We pretty much got the green light on the deal, so that's the importance.
Yeah,
it's all
more the contractor than it is the county road department. Yeah.
Good job, Fred. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Kevin Kennett, grant writer and information regarding an upcoming grant for Riverstock Ag sites and potential business expansion.
Always have some papers for you.
Save a tree, all right, would you?
Hey, you guys got to bring your laptop so we can...
No, I ain't got to. Forget it.
Right, Billy? Well, every month or so often want to visit with you about what we're thinking about in the grants and economic development. Most recently, we've got a grant opportunity for an electric vehicle. This is the one South Sioux City participated in 2 grant cycles ago with the Nebraska Environmental Trust. There's several communities around the state that got these vehicles. You see them parked in front of City Hall. And so
where are we standing on that right now?
Well, it's part of the Nebraska Environmental Trust. Their grants go in September, like right the day after Labor Day.
Okay.
And this is part of one of these coalitions. So right where we stand right now, if we want to be a part of this, we'll go over some numbers a little bit in a little more detail. In order to be part of the coalition, you need to join a one-time membership of $500 to be part of the coalition. So
why is everything $500 for a fee with grants? Everything's $500. You notice that, or is that just my imagination?
Most of the time to apply for the grants, it's free to do that, but to join the coalition to offset their expenses, I think, is where they're coming from on that. Now, this first page in the email is from Electric Transportation Partners. They kind of lead up this coalition, and so they're talking about, if you look at one of the sentences in the second paragraph, it says, so South Sioux City ended up paying out of pocket around $7,000 for a $32,000 vehicle. There's kind of a complex lease arrangement that they've arranged to do all of that. They got their money 2 grant cycles ago with the Nebraska Environmental Trust. They did not get funding this most recent one. So some other projects went ahead of that. But they're going to give it another shot in the first week of September. And they submitted, I think the first grant was like $402,000, but that was for a number of communities, maybe 6 or 8. And some of them got more than one car. So if you look at the second page, it's an email from Woodhouse on the lease. They talk about the MSRP being $32,000, and they go into a little bit of detail on how they lease the vehicle. So that's kind of some preliminary numbers for you on how that would all how that would all work out. So what I want to do, if you want to move on this, I would talk with Lance on how to get involved in that coalition. They say it's the membership is $1,000 for membership and $500 to join any grant application. So I would say if you just want to join the grant application, to pay $500. But I think that'd probably be my next move if you want to, in theory, move forward to talk with Lance about joining that coalition.
Where would this car go? I mean, who would use it?
Yeah.
Well, what they do, the city, they use it for, like, running around town for reading meters and that type of thing. And here, from what I understand, like Tiffany talked about,
health department,
making calls around with health department or county employees running around locally. So you can get quite a ways on.
Yeah, multi.
So it would just be available, just like down there in front of City Hall, it sits there, and the meter readers run it, and some of the others. So if you basically can buy a $32,000 vehicle for somewhere around $7,000, and then we're talking about service life, Lance says it's, you know, there's not as much maintenance. It had good luck with them, so it's kind of
been. And then you got to put the station in, right? What's the station cost to put in to plug it in?
Now they've got. There's two ways to do it. If you go with the station, it's an investment. If you just plug it in at home, which you don't need to buy any type of station. If you plug it into 220, it takes four to 8 hours to charge up. And if you just use 110, it takes a lot longer. So the charging station looks like a campground deal sticking out of the ground, and that enables it to charge faster. They're going to apply for charge points as part of the grant too for $7,000.
So how many cars have Sioux City has at the present time?
Well, I think they got three.
See, there's the thing here in the county. You know, if you want to get one vehicle and put the station just for one vehicle, I mean, we need more than one. I don't think so.
Chris Kleinberg sent me an email that they were talking about putting a charge station in at the LAC and sharing the cost with us.
Okay. Well, okay, Kevin, go ahead.
So I guess give some thought on what you'd like to do in that regard.
Well, we need to talk about the $500, you know, put up the kind of money, and then can we let them know in the late day?
As soon as we
let you know as soon as we decided what we want to do, or what you guys want to decide now, and see what you want to do with this.
I mean, if you can get a car, obviously, like Kevin said, you can get a car, you know, a net cost of $7,000. Is there a way to invest this $500? Are we guaranteed this thing?
No, it's part of a competitive grant process.
Oh, yeah, sure. No guarantees in life.
You can lay your money down. Well, it's rare that the grant application, you know, that it costs you any money. It's just part of the coalition, the corporate entity that they've set up to administer probably some of the cost on that is where the membership.
So is there like criteria that they want us to use it X amount of miles a year or anything like that? Or is there, I mean, when you got to fill out a grant for a car, I guess, what's the basic criteria? I mean, for a county to get, I mean, obviously you got to show how you're going to be using it, I would think, right, Kevin?
Right, yeah, I mean, you want to use it as part of your normal operations, but you can't because of, you don't take it 500 miles away because you got to charge to come back. So it's good for local type of traffic. But I think Tiffany talked about making house calls or whatever calls that they do with the health department, that it could be beneficial. If you compare it to something similar to meter reading where it's all local traffic, then it's feasible.
Yeah.
So and I think being part of the school board at Allen, we're thinking about joining this because we take kids to the Tower School from Allen to Wayne. You're taking one kid in the morning and you're got to go get them in the afternoon. So Wayne's part of this coalition. Hopefully you can get there and back without a charge, plug it in, and then it charge up in the afternoon, and then the afternoon make another run. But Wayne is part of that. Wayne has the charge station already, so of course
they're starting to become more common everywhere.
So,
yeah, you go to hotels and they're there.
So what's the 411s doing this?
We probably can't take action today anyway, can we?
It's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, I'd like to know what we pay for a year, what we pay in mileage. And then I got some kind of a ballpark, you know, what we're paying out a year for mileage for cars.
We budgeted $4,000. We budgeted $4,000
for mileage.
Veteran Service Officer.
It would definitely pay for itself, but of course, no bother.
We probably pay close to that for
the
nurse.
Whatever you guys want to do.
This claim had, what, 100?
Well, I think what we can 50. Do is we'll just, you know, maybe put it on the next agenda. We can talk about it and figure it out. If we want to make that initial $500 investment to move forward on the.
I mean, South Sioux apparently has had good luck with their grant.
Yeah, I mean, they're proud of it that they have it.
Probably will get it if we apply for it.
I would think so.
I said, 2 years ago they got it. This last year they did not.
Right.
And they're going to ramp up and try it again. And that's part of the aggregate. I mean, there's $400,000 grant, but it's a lot of different communities and a lot of different vehicles.
Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just table this issue for the April 30th? And then we'll let you know by then. We can talk about the $500 and many other things that we need to visit about it.
March 30th.
Is that March 30th? Is that the next meeting?
Yeah. Well, I think, did you say April 30th or do you want to go March 30th? Just 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. March 30th. I say April? April? Oh. I have to make
Is that $500 once we pay that and we don't get it? Do we have to pay it again next year? Or is it a lifetime?
I was led to believe it's just a one-time joining the coalition.
To join the coalition?
Joining the group that applies.
So if
applies.
We don't get so we this year, we would apply for again next year,
That's
but not have to
yes.
pay the $500.
That's what I understand, yes.
Yeah, let's put on the next agenda.
Yeah. Let's do that. Okay.
Well, if we look on the last paragraph there, it says, on the first page, be advised that grants are written on behalf of Alliance members. You have to pay $1,000 one time for membership and $500 to join any grant application. You can remain a member and never have to apply again.
So the membership is $1,000.
So. Mm-hmm. But let me clarify. Let me get that clarified, and we'll see exactly where we end up on
let
that.
Let us know before the meeting.
Right.
Okay. Anything else, Kevin?
We've got a few more slides here. I'll just take a couple more minutes. Second page, updates on the interest in the dairy operations. Prospect number one looks like it's moving forward. That was one we had the meeting here. Scott was here. We talked with that gentleman. And then since that time, there's been another prospect, another dairy operation that's been looking and talking to landowners around the county. Those discussions have been off and on for a period of time. And then most recently, as a result of the flyer that we sent to California, a new prospect has entered the picture and looking at this area, generally northeast Nebraska, as a site. So they've looked at South Dakota. They've looked at Iowa. They're now looking around here. They're looking out as far as Wayne. They'll be visiting on Wednesday. And we're wanting to know if there would be any properties available here in the county. So I placed some calls to commissioners to find out whether there's some interest. I think we will show them landowner number twos at this point, unless some other properties come available.
Wasn't it, refresh my memory, they got to be so far apart, right?
It's 5 miles.
Was it 5 miles, is that correct?
Well, I think it depends upon the number of animal units, but they have to have a buffer zone for the waste management,
right.
Nutrient management plan to go out. So it would be most ideal to have probably at least five in between operations.
Just off the top of your head, could you even visualize another spot that's in the valley part, you know, not getting into the hills, that, you know,
Well, Kevin called me, and I reached out to just a few people in the Homer area, and I didn't find anybody.
I'm just trying to think.
To sell.
I'm just trying to think, if you get across the highway, you know, 20, for instance, or even 35,
yeah.
In between 35 and 20, or even 20 to the river, in the flats. And I know it can work in the hills, and obviously Todd, you know, wasn't interested. It can work in the hills, correct?
Well, if you look at the one north and west of Emerson, it's, right. You know, it's rolling.
But he was not interested whatsoever in that situation. Well, that ain't really hilly, though. It ain't like it is.
Well, it kind of skinned off the top of a hill.
Right.
But it's got some topography to it.
I couldn't even, I couldn't, who knows, but everybody that owns land that I know of that between 35 and 20 and 20, you know, those are all, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I think there's room for several, yeah. But, you know, finding someone willing to sell. I didn't call the Godfather.
Okay, we'll head in.
Okay, some activity there with, if things do happen, you know, let me know. The guy's going to visit on Wednesday.
Okay.
And I wanted to share with you, I've talked to you, all of you about this kind of being expanded to include also components of economic development. And so this one is the position at Cumming County is open. And the reason that I share this with you, because if you take out South Sioux City, Dakota County is about a population of about 9,000, which is what Cumming County is. They incorporated an economic development program in 2010. Their guy is very, very sharp. He's leaving to go to Lincoln to administer a new economic development fund. But if you look at the job description, there's a lot of different things they do with business expansion, business retention, and so forth, of which the grant writing is a part of. So I guess my point in sharing this with you is that I think in order to do a good job here and obviously make the cash register ring and bring funds into the county also has a component of getting businesses to start and to expand. Because every time they pay their property taxes, it's a grant every year. And so I guess I wanted to share that with you and something to think about. As we look for other grants on down the road, Nebraska Environmental Trust, which is the first sheet here, they made their awards early this year. If we look about the 10th one down, Big Ox Energy, it's in the Roth Industrial Park. So they got a $500,000 grant as part of a $14 million project. They're doing something innovative in making methane out of municipal waste. Down a little further, Spencer Area Development Corporation, that was one of mine out in Boyd County. We got a two-year grant total of $440,000 for a lake renovation. What the client, the development group, brought to the table, about $100,000 cash and 45 acres. The next one is also a state grants that are out there, DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality. I think Scott and Joan had asked a little bit about this. This is the grant program that pays for the tire recycling, but they also have the crumb rubber tire grants as well. So there's a number of, this past year there was a number of, I think every football field in the state got about $100,000 to redo their turf. They put the crumb rubber underneath and then the turf on top. So UNL, all the state colleges, and a lot of smaller schools as well. One of mine, second page, Prairie Land Dairy. We got them some funds for a food depackager that takes food waste and separates it from the packaging. Like there's a pallet load of canned string beans or something, the depackager would chew it all up and separate the metal from the food waste. But that was a total project of $316,000. We got them $95,000.
good.
These, like the real fine chipped up tires, the easels and parts, instead of wood chips.
Well, and I guess that's where the question arose here for landscaping and that type of thing.
Right.
So, and the grant will pay for 50% of the cost to have that stuff brought in if you want to use it. And that was a question here that came from some of the group here about any landscaping projects. They could, it would reimburse up to 50%.
Okay.
And this is one of the few grants for that. I mean, generally they're small depending on how much you need. But it would reimburse 50%, and they do it on a reimbursement basis where that's rare. Usually if you spend any money beforehand, you're out of luck. But this one, they said, go ahead and do the project, submit it next February 1st for 50% reimbursement. But I think with the dairy industry, there's a lot of activity right now and expansion, so it's probably the window's not going to be open very long, but if we want to move, if there's landowners and that's something we want to do, it's probably some time to move forward on
so that. This new interest company who has interest in how much land are they needing? I mean,
ideally what they like is they would buy 80 acres and like an option on another 80.
So total 160.
Yes, total of 160.
Any more questions for Kevin?
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Let us know. Item C on miscellaneous. Jacob and Elizabeth are on jailers asking board approval to donate jailers sick time for Deanna, who is in medical leave. Okay.
Ladies, gentlemen, Jacob, Elizabeth, those of you who don't know us.
Oh, we know you. Well, we know you for
sure. I just
sure.
wanted to make sure. Just like he said, we have a co-worker. She's out right now. She's been off work for some time, fighting breast cancer. We would like to pool some of our sick time together and donate that to her, towards her. I know that all her leave has expired as of this point. She has a benefit coming up early next month. And, I mean, we think that's the least we can do for her, try to help her out a little bit. I did have a talk with Terry Kern about this, the director over there. He did tell me that he didn't have the power to authorize that. He told me that there is nothing in the county handbook or anywhere providing for this, and we understand that.
So I don't remember somebody – we went – when we were down in the basement, we went through the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sandy with Pam. I think wanted to donate.
I think so. Yes.
And our handbook wouldn't allow us at the time.
It's a program that has to be set up like a bank almost.
And our program is not set up that way.
No, where everyone can donate if they want to and take from it depending on the restrictions. Pam Bourne
was willing to help
set it up if we wanted it.
And so we didn't pursue it at that time. I remember all that. You were going to talk to... Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and I think I sent you one of the attachments that she sent then, explaining how it works.
So, legal, we just can't do it, right? Or what? That's what you're trying to say? Or?
You can do it, but you've got to set up a program.
Oh, okay.
Structure the program how we want it to be, if we wanted to be able to allow sick time to be transferred to a coworker,
to a bank. To like a bank.
And realistically, is that really, I mean, I understand and I praise you guys for coming to us and trying to help her out. I really do. But sick time is not obviously a guaranteed, I mean, how do I want to put it? It's... As a taxpayer's dollar, mm-hmm. There's no – help me out here, Joan, because I remember we talked about this the other day. I mean, the time – it's not like it's a – you know, that you're guaranteed like – that you have – it's not a guaranteed time that you're being paid.
Yeah, there's no buyout on the
end. So
you don't put a dollar value on it per se, but still
– the only buyout it'd be is on their vacation. We have to pay for their vacation. If they happen to quit or something.
Well, this is going to happen again and again. I think it's probably worthwhile to get something going. I don't know if it's possible.
Well, I don't know if it's an again and again thing. I mean, this is obviously rare.
I'm saying that in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, this has been something I know we dealt with Pam. I remember those talks going on.
Yep. I'm not saying that in a negative way at all. I think it's a great thing that you're doing. Someday we're going to be faced with it again. I think we should be prepared for it.
I understand where you guys come from, taxpayer dollar. We're all a family here. It's the least we can do.
Right, right. Absolutely. Like I said, I praise you guys for what you're doing, but I think right now our hands are tight. I don't think that, you know, if you had X amount of hours that you wanted to give to her.
Obviously, if we got this program set up, put guidelines on it, put caps on it. I mean, I got 500 some hours of sick time I'm never going to use. Obviously, I'm not going to give all that away to her. I mean, that's pretty pricey.
Right.
So if it's a case where our hands are tied right now, how do we get this program set up? Who can do it?
Are we able to set it up in a timely manner to help her? I don't know.
Talking about maybe 2 days per person, if you so choose, you know, to contribute to her.
So who will be responsible to set up the program?
Pam said she'd help.
Oh.
If you guys want it.
Okay. So
I don't have a lot to say here, but just to let you know, our school board just went through this, and sick time cannot be donated. It has to be vacation and a max of 2 days per employee to an individual.
Why could sick time not be donated?
Just a question. It's not. My mom works for Jackson Public School, and they have a pool where at the beginning of every year, if you so choose, you can take 2 days and put them in a bank. And then if something were to happen with a fellow employee,
it can be donated.
And so my mom, every year, at the end of the year, because she never uses all her sick time, every year she takes her 2 days, along with most of her employees, and puts them in this bank.
On the policy, I'm sure. Different schools are different.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes. So what's the board wants to do? I know that this guy's got a good heart, you know, and they good intentions, but we need to do that the right way.
Let's move forward with it.
Yes.
So did you, I didn't hear what you said, Pam. So if we wanted to move forward, or excuse me, Pam. Kim, I was thinking of Pam. Would you have to talk to Pam again?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this was like 2010, I
right.
think. Or 2012, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking a couple, two or 3 years ago, whatever it was.
Okay, so you said Pam's got the information on that. I mean, where do we go from there? I mean, if you guys want help, if you guys need something on our end,
absolutely.
Let us know. I mean, we're more than willing to help. We're willing to sit down, get this hashed out, and figure it out. We'd like to help one of our own. That's why we're here.
Yep.
But if you want to set up the program, we need an action, don't we?
It's gone.
It's been gone.
We don't need an action.
So,
boy, it's hard to live.
No, it is.
Well,
I mean, obviously we're not going to cover everything, but it's a start. It's a way to help.
It's basically whether or not you're approving donation, which...
No, so we don't need an action?
Yeah.
Can we approve?
Yeah.
Kim going forward with setting this bank?
No.
That needs to be a separate agenda item.
Yeah.
And that's on March 30th. You got the next one?
You know how our wheels turn.
Yeah. Well, can we put that on there now, or do we need to make a separate request for that?
Let's do it now.
It's a board thing.
Can they go now? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's. I think I'd like to have it on for March 30th.
It's not in.
So we can do March 30th then. Okay.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank
no problem.
You.
Thank you.
For coming.
Okay. Commissioners committee report. Scott Love.
Really?
Law Enforcement Center, the chairperson.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the chair now, the co-chair. John Saunders and I are taking turns.
What did I tell you, my guy?
Tony totally set me up on this deal. And then I got to tell you about Tony also. He had to tell me what a great job that I did. He's prepping me and pimping me for next time around next year.
Good deal.
No, it basically, our meeting went, let me think here, what all took place. Amber pretty much talked about her grant monies is what she basically. It was pretty simple, and then we just did the renewal for the insurance for the LEC went down a little bit.
The equipment money.
Yeah, and then the equipment. The consultant couldn't be available for another month to come and talk to us, and we're talking about doing those meetings quarterly,
instead of doing monthly. And then if we need a situation or to act on something, we can always have an emergency meeting. But yeah, the consultant I thought was going to be there this month to talk about the updating of all the radios, but next month he's supposed to be there. So yeah, that's about it for the LEC. It was pretty simple.
Okay.
Unless you want to add something, you were there.
You cover everything, my friend.
Okay.
You did a good job.
I've already heard that. All right, what's next? Any other committee reports? I'm kind of taking over here a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I did today.
Well, I just on that, so everybody will know, LB609, that, well, I ain't on here, I looked, but that got completely thrown out.
What was 609? What was it?
That was where the state would come in and tell us what we have to do in places like. They can put a hog set up right beside your house if they wanted it.
Oh, yeah. Was that 609?
Yeah.
106,
wasn't it? 106. 106, okay.
609 is for the briefing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I talked to,
well, that's a good thing,
I talked to Leonard Peters the other night. Yeah. He said that there was three voted against it and one voted for it. That's how it was going to happen.
Okay. Anything with the RC&D?
No, we didn't have. Well, I'll have a meeting next week.
Where we stand on 175, Jones, and LB 175, the last step. I mean, it's moving anywhere.
But we did get our grant money for our tires, Scott.
It's a committee priority bill.
Oh, it is?
Ag committee chose that to be their priority bill, so it's a good chance that there'll be.
Everybody in their package got the update on the legislation, so if you get dry in anything, let us know.
The only thing I know on RC&D, we're trying to buy a piece of ground from the state on Highway 9 down by Logan, because that's where the canoes is going to go down, from there all the way down to that creek going through Pender. So we're trying to buy a piece of ground from the state right now.
And I know we're trying to also, Joan and I, on Friday, we went over, we got to get this week with the camera people. We're going to put cameras throughout the, we got a grant opportunity to put some cameras in. And this has kind of been ongoing, but Joan and I went and seen Terry and seen their operation of how, you know, their cameras are set up and what they can look at. And of course, when you look out the window, you see that one camera out there, you're thinking that, you know, what's that cover? It only covers wherever it's aiming at. Okay, so it might be aiming, you know, a different way. So, anyways,
there's a lot to choose from the cameras.
Oh, yeah. I think they could probably drive you, put you in a barrel, and start spinning you. Exactly. You know, you just got to. They probably could. They could probably confuse you. I can see that.
It is.
We talked about, we had a safety meeting today, too, before our meeting, and Dick and Joe and I were there. They talked about also the cameras there that you guys are looking into, and whoever has some grant money there, so. But one thing that was brought up towards the tail end of the meeting, I thought that was interesting, you don't even think about it, was there's personnel available to come in and train the courthouse. If there were lone gunmen or several gunmen could come in, and it could happen in here, you know, it could happen anywhere. It could
anywhere.
Easily happen in a courthouse.
Especially an assessor's office.
Yeah, the assessor.
Right. Two assessors and the county. There's two that have been shot.
The county attorney's office, the judge, ourselves. You know, we're not very popular at times, but they're going to have some workshops.
Not today, though.
On how to exit the building or what to do to protect yourself and everyone else, and they're going to do that. But they're looking into it. I think it's a good.
That's a good thing.
Good thing, yeah. Really. Arnie's snapping, but it could.
Arnie said they'd just take care of it out there with their main tent, didn't they, probably?
I don't think they're going to have any problems.
Thank you, Bill. Any more committee report? Public comments, yes.
Yes. I can't wait to get that little electric car out there and do some rough running with it.
Check
some pivots out there. We'll see how it works.
Full drive electric car. Yeah.
I can see you driving out to a field and have to plug into the 220 out there. Right, Billy?
480.
480, whatever. You'd be going within minutes.
Mail an emergency business. There is any. So if there's anything else, meet it. Adjourned.